here today. What's up, Patrice?
Patrice.
What's up, everybody?
How you doing?
What's going on?
You feeling safe today?
What do you mean? From the Dirty Arabs? Yeah.
Yeah.
What are you going to do, man?
Yeah, nothing.
You know, what are you going to do?
You're going to...
can't control them unless you violate somebody's civil rights.
Yeah, well, yeah.
As long as
I think
you
got to start doing some of that, though.
Live with them. I love racism. I want white people to be racist against me so I can be racist against everybody else. I don't want to stop it.
We were talking about that earlier, though. The whole white-black thing, black-white thing, whatever, however you want to say it, it's been knocked down again.
Well,
now we're all friends again.
Well, not really, because I was listening to you guys complain about electronics, and that's just something niggas just don't do, is sit around and go, customer service. I bought a light bulb that said 10 years. It only lasted 8.6, so I called you bunch of dicks. I couldn't believe y'all was in there talking about your computers with that much passion.
Well, if you guys have a problem, you just steal a new one.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I don't buy the warranty. I'm just going to buy a new computer, because black people already know what's going on with this.
Are people still buying those warranties?
That is,
white people.
That is funny, though, man. He just, all of a sudden, he completely made me feel like a stupid whitey.
Oh, my God.
Because I'm in there, and I know he's looking in the window, and my arms are flailing. I'm like, I can't get him on the phone line. Customer service, damn it. My arms are flailing.
I'm just looking at you going, is Anthony getting crazy over Dell computer? And let me tell you another thing, man. India, you call it laziness, but black people call it healthy paranoia. We do not believe in anything is going to be right.
No.
So it's like...
so you just expect it.
Oh, white entitlement is hilarious to listen to. And then check this out. And the easy pass. You know what? Black people have been saying for years, easy pass is a guy. It's a government scam.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was hearing it, but I couldn't hear it. I didn't have it loud out there. But black people for years have been saying easy pass, it tracks your movements. So
yeah.
So you go through the Holland, and then the next easy pass, if you get there quicker than the speed limit between each thing, you get a goddamn ticket in the mail.
But they're not doing that.
Well, I don't know.
They can do it.
I don't have Easy Pass.
And it's not the Easy Pass that's getting the black guys the tickets. It's those ankle bracelets.
Good. See, I don't want to take that away from Norton, so I can look at an Arab funny every day.
Right.
I want
right.
Norton to be able to say ankle bracelet jokes, so I can look at that.
Because the racism's there, so you might as well be able to have a little fun with it too, with the Arabs.
And I want to see if a black girl's missing in Aruba.
What's going to
happen?
I admitted that.
I don't know how many times I've pointed out the fact that when a little white girl goes missing, they put out the Amber Alerts, and it's insane. People go crazy. The picture's all over the paper. And you barely ever hear a poor little black girl that's been kidnapped 8 years old or something like that.
Oh, that little nigglet runaway. Little nigga ran away. God damn it.
There was a great...
and you're right. No one really seems to care.
There was
much.
A great black-white story. Remember the grandma that was giving birth, the oldest woman to give birth?
Yeah.
She was 60-something.
Mm-hmm.
And then the following day, they found a black lady. Same fucking thing. She got maybe a mention.
Old slave ho.
Old slave ho.
Old slave ho still popping out them babies.
And the and the white grandma, she was on every morning news program.
Oh, my goodness, her white uterus is still working. It's beautiful, you motherfucker.
And then there was a black grandma, and this is all you heard.
Yeah, what?
Nothing.
Black granny?
Yeah, whatever. And I'm sure black people are getting bitten by the sharks, but we're not going to hear about it.
No one cares.
No one cares.
And it's no big deal. That's the thing. I don't even get into this whole thing. It's I don't care anymore.
Yeah.
The world is so effed up right now where you go,
who cares?
Just like F1 fighters finding this little white girl. You know she's not dead. She's somewhere else. How did those three idiots do what they did and then hide her in, secret caves, places that the Aruban people don't know
exist? About. It's pretty small island.
Stop.
Yeah.
Stop.
Yeah.
Stop. You know what I mean? Give me a break with that.
You think she's alive somewhere?
She's somewhere, but she's fucking,
you think she's down
now. She got a taste of some dreadlock balls and she can't stop. She can't stop herself.
There are actually two black guys that went down to one of the islands and got murdered down there. And you barely heard anything about it.
Barely.
And it wasn't, barely nothing? You didn't hear anything?
Nothing about
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
News to me.
Two guys, went down there, and you got murdered, and you really didn't hear anything about it.
What's your take on the Howard Beach thing?
Look, man.
We've been talking about that story for a little over a week now. I mean, for the rest of the country, basically, a few brothers were in a...
Three black guys wandered into Howard Beach looking to steal a car, and a white guy driving around in his Escalade... kind of gotten some kind of a eyeball altercation. This guy, Fat Nick, got a couple of his buddies and a baseball bat, went after him, got one of the guys, beat him over the head, put him in the hospital with a fractured skull, and now he's up on hate crime charges.
Let me ask white people this. Let me ask you this. Mm-hmm.
I think you, by the way, going to be surprised the angle we took on the Howard Beach thing.
Do you get embarrassed when you think it's getting better? Do white people go... I think it's in your white world, you go, things are getting so much better. Yeah. And then you hear this, you go, oh, my God, I thought everything was...
But everything was good.
I thought it... I didn't think niggas were getting beat with bats anymore. This is like not a surprise.
I'm not delusional. I know shit ain't getting any better than it was. People's feelings haven't changed. Laws have been put in place that make it harder to be racist. That's all.
That's what it is. It's legislated.
It's legislated. Like, that's making racism go away? No. There's still black guys that hate white guys. There's still white guys that hate black guys.
But I think it's something we do. I think it's something we like to do. You know what I'm saying?
It's basic animal nature. People enjoy, like animals, people enjoy... hanging out with their own people more than they do other people's people. That's why you'll have white guys with black friends, black guys with white friends, that. But for the most part, when you're going out, it's like you're usually with your own people. You don't want some conglomerated, mulatto, mongrel group of friends.
Both races will be destroyed in such a movement.
I guess that's true, because I consider myself a friend with Opie, and anytime I try to hug him, you should just look at the face.
The fear,
I don't like hugging.
Why not?
Fear.
First of all, you could squash me.
I'm gentle when I come
up. He's a big, gentle bear of a hug.
You know what? And Opie, you know how Opie's great? He doesn't even hide, like, how uncomfortable he is. His whole face mushes in, like, are you getting ready to goddamn hug me, motherfucker?
I hate hugging big guys just because, and I don't care what friggin' color you are, just for the fact that I come out as the bitch in the relationship, and I actually, there are times I put my foot up, like I'm hugging, and my foot goes up, and I'm like, I am a little bitch in this relationship.
I make friends with the fake black people.
Why?
What's fake black people?
They're fake black people. There was
like Earl?
Earl's a totally a fake black. You think you're hanging with one of these ghetto brothers, and you realize he's just as white as us.
He's just safe. Yeah. He's
you know, you want to feel like, hey, look at me hanging with the ghetto bro.
You want Sinbad, not Fitty.
And then as soon as, you know, Cent. Earl and I are walking down the street, and a real brother is coming the other way, he's just as scared. he's just... I remember this kid in high school.
In other words, Drew Boogie.
I remember this kid in high school. He was the black kid. I played basketball, so... And this one black kid on our team was... He acted like he was...
One black kid on your basketball team?
No, we had... I mean...
Oh, okay. This particular...
Yeah, okay. Right.
It's a little town called Paradise.
Come on, it was Green Lawn. It must have been at least two.
This guy had everything going that the ghetto had going. He had the styles, the movement, the talk. He would walk those halls, and quite frankly, most of us were like, oh, a little intimidated by the guy. He had it. It looked like he had it, right? So we go and play, I think it was Amityville, which is, you want to talk about... A black neighborhood. It's the real deal.
Amityville,
okay?
where the house is. Amityville, yeah, New York, yeah. Seriously, is a black
That's South Amityville, though. That's kind of nice area. Beach houses. We're talking North Amityville.
You're talking Disney.
Yeah, order to get through the Amityville horror, you have to go through North Amityville.
Okay.
Which is much more of a horror show.
Oh, my goodness. Whoa.
But, so this kid...
Lock your doors.
So you get the idea. This guy, you know... had this image like he was a badass motherfucker from the ghetto, right?
Right.
So we go to Amityville to play these guys, and then first of all, there's a curfew in the town back in the day.
Right.
And we had armed guards that got us
armed.
I swear to God.
Really?
of a whatever, wow. a police officer, whatever, okay?
That's not, this is all not surprise, you know.
No.
Yeah. Not a surprise.
Because our basketball team was, you know, mostly white, yes.
Right.
There was maybe two or three brothers on the team. So we had guys that escorted us from the bus to the locker room to the bench where we played, and they were behind us. And it was, I'm not lying, it was a scary, scary scene when you're not used to this type of thing. And this guy that was supposed to be the badass guy from the ghetto was just as scared as us. And that's when I realized there's black guys and there's fake black guys.
Amityville High School guys were in their 30s.
I'm in the
oh,
middle.
Yeah, they all had full beards and dunking over us. The game was over after the first quarter, but we still had to play three more quarters. It was just, what a nightmare.
I didn't become
and that
friends.
Kid was on the bench just as scared, getting a little closer to us. I'm like... Man, you've been a phony all these years.
Well, he's not a phony. It's just there's levels to it, man. It's like
yeah.
I grew up in one of the toughest parts of that, but I was always I was a clown, man. I was a chubby clown, but I knew how to play basketball and I was funny. So the dudes that were gangsters didn't mess with me, you know what I mean? But I know I'm comfortable around that because I know how to get around, but I'm not that. I'm not, you know. But I didn't have white friends until I started doing comedy. Like
being funny keeps you out of a lot of shit.
It does, man.
Really does help out in school. You don't get beat. You know, there's those little cliques that go around, you know, the jocks and all that bullshit in high school and stuff. And I was pretty much on good terms with all of them,
because
you know.
You was funny. And
yeah.
And you picked on the right, like, if you wasn't a bully with your funniness, like, I went after everybody, you know what I mean? Like, Norton goes after everybody,
yeah.
You know, and I know Norton probably took a slap back in the day.
No, I didn't get beat up much because...
Shut up.
I didn't.
Leave him alone!
All right, I would run. just to interrupt you for one second, I was going for, I used to wear Kangos, you know, because I was, like, in that awful phase, and I was going to get a drink of water, and this black kid, this tough black kid from, like, a real awful neighborhood had moved in, cut in front of me, and just kind of moved me,
oh.
And I was like, all right, go ahead. Like I was
all right,
letting,
go
like,
ahead. Like, yeah, you're giving him permission.
two gangsters getting a little water. Go ahead, homeboy. I know you thirsty.
My face is getting hot just thinking about that.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
When Orlando took my Kango off, and I turn around and snap, and he goes, you want to fight me? And I'm like, if you want to look at my hat, just ask.
Just ask.
Can't you see Norton in high school with his golf gloves? up to the form, gothic gloves, and his dumb black T-shirts.
I just saw a video last night that just remind me of. I want to bring up on the show today, okay? There was a black guy harassing this white guy and his chick. Classic scene.
Yeah.
Like, what are you going to do? You know, the whole black thing going down, right?
Intimidating.
And you're feeling, you're watching this video. Maybe Steve has it on foundrymusic.com or we can get it up there immediately. Someone sent it to me. And the guy looks like he's going to get the shit kicked out. And then there's other homies around like, yeah, man. You know, just losing it. Sorry. But
sorry.
Whatever.
You see how he stood up? Something happened to Opie. I'm going to find out what it was.
I'm dedicated to my art. But you know the whole scene, you know, it's just the guy with his chick, and now he's being harassed. I don't know what he did. Maybe he deserves it, whatever.
Uh-huh.
And this black guy squares up like, come on, we're going, right? And you're feeling bad for the guy in the video. All of a sudden, the guy goes into one of these deep Master Po karate stances.
Oh, saw it. Knocked the motherfucker right out.
Holy shit.
Yeah,
the guy obviously was a third-degree black something, heavy duty, right? And now he's just doing the moves, and the black guy slowly but surely is getting, went from, like, not scared of anything to, like, very, you know, intimidated. But now he can't be showed up, right? So now he's going to fight anyway, and you saw the result.
Got knocked the
this
fuck out.
This guy took pretty much one punch and just slaughtered.
His friend had to drag him. His friend had to, like, drag him across the street.
Wait, is this the pimp?
The pimp guy.
Who got knocked out in the street?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wait, that's a pimp?
You seen that?
Yeah.
He was a pimp. Yes, he was a pimp.
But the best part of that is how the black guy was so intimidating, and you felt so bad for the white guy, and all of a sudden he goes into stance, and like, oh, my God, can you imagine?
Chalk
you
know? Up one.
You know? I can't wait
to
all
the... You got the video?
I can't wait till all the white guys get confidence from the story.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, no, no.
I hope he's giving white
ass.
People hope.
No,
hey,
no.
Let me tell you something. All black guys are woofing.
You can do it.
It's not even a black-white thing. The point I'm going to make is you never know who you're going to fuck with, because this guy looked like he was obviously a very easy target. But then he's like, all right, I guess I got to go. He gets way down low and gets ready for the fight.
You
I'm
know,
like,
Master
oh,
Poe
my
got freckles.
God. Yeah.
Master Paul has freckles, you know what I mean? And you just don't know he could just break all your limbs, you know what I mean?
Yeah, he'll kick your ass. He'll use like a broom handle.
You can see he's a kook, though. When you look at his eyes,
they're kind of like
looking through you. You can kind of see he's a like a problem.
He's a problem.
He's a fucking sociopath on some level. You know, he's the type of person that bites 8 peoples in a Wendy's and just doesn't remember it. Maybe he can say people instead of peoples.
Peoples.
Steve's getting the video, and he'll put it up on OpenAnthony.com
for the
weekend.
Well, can we see it, Steve?
Weekend.
Where is it? You certainly can. Pot it up.
I will.
You just need to see the first part where the chick and the guy, and you just feel bad for the guy. Like, oh, God, he's got to defend.
There comes another beating, like the guy in the pizza place.
Oh, that was awful.
He's got to defend his girlfriend, and it's going to be ugly, but he's got to do it. You know. And then when he goes into the karate stance, you're like, oh, my God.
He was, like, debating, do I really want to knock this guy
out
or not?
Yeah.
Oh, that's not the one.
That's not the one?
No, man.
Wow, are you kidding? Well,
oh,
then look
at this.
That's the
pimp one. No.
You'll enjoy this one, then. See, there's a hoe is trying to hold her pimp back.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because the guy now wants to go across the street and beat the crap out of this white guy.
Right.
So the hoe is trying to hold him back.
Yeah, do the play-by-play.
He rips his shirt off.
Right.
Now he's a shirtless pimp. He walks up to the white guy. White guy is eyeing him up. And bam! Boom,
oh,
boy!
Oh, wow.
And he is down. He gave him one, like, back fist. Yeah.
No, the one I'm talking about, it's a young white kid with his just girlfriend, not a hooker or anything.
He gave him like a back fist or something.
No, you got to see the other one because what's great about the other one is the guy actually goes into the karate stance like, all right,
he does.
And you just. As you watch this video, you're like, oh, man.
That one wasn't a train.
You don't have that one yet?
No.
Damn it. I didn't save it. I just assumed it had it.
That was he squared off like he was going to punch him with his right. He just swung his left. He backhanded him with his left.
That was a strong get away from me.
Yeah.
But knocked his ass out.
Wait,
so
a karate move, yeah.
Wait, let's go to Sean in New York. Sean?
Hey, boys. How you doing?
Hey.
Hi.
Hi, Pookie.
Oh, my God. Sean, come on. Wait. Sometimes you got to just go with the flow. Let's go.
Go.
Hey, that video you're looking for is on big-boys.com.
Oh, Big Boys, yeah.
What's that website about?
Yeah, a lot of cool movies. You just go there and download videos of horrors and atrocities and beatings and car wrecks.
I mean, it's like a fart.com for video clips. It's just fucking incredible.
Awesome. Thank you, Sean.
All right, later, boys.
All right. Well, that sounds like a good website to check out, and we'll find the video on there, and we'll link it.
What's it from? Where did it take place?
I don't know. I don't know
what it is.
I don't know the history of it. The guy was just kind of walking with his girlfriend, and all of a sudden the bad guy, for whatever reason, is harassing him, and then they square off.
That's where I get all my fun videos, like the black guy in the pizza parlor that beat up the white guy, and the kid riding in the back of the riding his. What was he doing? He was opening the back car door. He was in the car. He's opening the back door and hitting people on their bicycles. With it. So he goes to do it one time, and the driver kind of swerves. He hangs out the door. He falls out. He's trying to hold on to the door and hits his head on a parked car bumper.
It's phenomenal footage.
Fantastic.
It's better than the Zapruder film.
Fantastic.
Jeez.
That's on Ogrish. You can go to Ogrish and get that. And it's
I don't want to go to Ogrish.
Nah.
That's
a
little
too
much.
Do you find that you, when you get an older man, that you can't watch? I cannot.
Oh, yeah.
I used to be able to watch a beheading.
No, I can't watch that shit anymore.
Crossing my legs, eating...
Nope. Can't watch the beheadings.
Nope.
Can't watch them.
It's just, I think you get closer to God when you just get older for some reason.
It's too much to watch. I can't watch somebody in that much agony. I just can't do it. Can't do it.
Did you see the WWF last or WWE?
What?
Last night? Oh, the dude, in the beginning, because of the London thing, they go, due to tonight's... due to the London, tragedy in London, tonight's episode of Raw is going to be, or tonight's episode of SmackDown is going to be parental guys, right? So they have a character, like a terrorist character.
Oh, jeez.
Muhammad, whatever.
Of course.
So he's fighting the Undertaker. So he has this lackey guy who always kind of talks for him. He's going, I love my head. So they made him fight the Undertaker. So the Undertaker beats him up in 7 seconds. So the guy says to his friend before he goes out, he goes, look, if you do this, you will be rewarded by Allah, right? So after the Undertaker beat him up, the dude gets on his knees and starts praying, right? Allah, Allah, And about 6 mass, terrorist dudes come out and beat the they beat up the Undertaker, right? It terrorize him. And then the beat-up guy in the ring that the Undertaker beat up, they... they carry him out as if he's a martyr in Afghanistan or whatever the case may be. I'm like, they went through an entire, like, it was a whole skit.
What, are they insane?
I'm watching it, and I think stuff like that's hilarious. But yeah. I'm going, oh, my
it's
God.
A little tasteless.
I'm like, are they, it was like the terrorist dude. And if you watch any of them dudes, the beheading, those dudes, they came dressed just like those
really?
Dudes. And beat up the Undertaker, you know, did his, you know, every time they hit him, they would pray.
I think Vince is getting desperate at this point.
That's not,
And you know I love stuff, but I just was like, oh.
Yeah, you're gonna like, ugh.
But you know, when I wrote for them, they used to have a character, this Indian dude. Vince is a cold dude, man, and he had this Indian dude.
Yeah, we never talked to you about that. I think Jimmy brought it up or something. You used to fly around with Vince McMahon
In a Learjet.
In a Learjet and write for WWF?
write for WWF. And Vince McMahon, there's three people I've met in my life. You know, you probably can name them, people in your life where you met and you lost your madness. Like, you try to go, hey, what's happening? Hey, good to see you, Michael Jackson. Nice talking to you. But there's some people you meet and you're just in complete...
Yeah, because we're all meeting Michael Jackson. Jesus.
But you know what I'm saying?
Holy shit. Yeah, that's a great example, though.
But there's people, like, if you met Michael Jackson, would you be... You've been in the business long enough where you go,
I don't know. Someone like Michael Jackson, he's like uber famous. I think I would be starstruck.
A little bit.
Yeah, okay, without
a
doubt.
Fair enough. That's
I don't
fair.
Typically get starstruck, but I mean, I probably would.
Shut up, Mr. Pitches with everybody. You're starstruck.
I was starstruck when you walked in.
I had a little of that, actually. Yeah.
Thank you.
Just a little bit.
A little
I was like,
in your stomach. Right.
I saw him on Tough Crowd.
But it's like I met a few people, like maybe three or four, where I go, oh, boy. I was at his house in Stanford writing.
Wow.
They were rewriting.
Nice
and he just
house,
comes
too.
Out, hello, Patrice, and in his jumpsuit and his everything. And I just was like, oh, my God. I was like, oh, like a little girl, like, hey. Hi, Mr.
Yeah, we've had him on a few times.
And he's a powerful dude, man, but he's a cold dude. Now, this one guy, he used to have a turban. He goes in and none of the wrestlers talk to him personally, you know, except for the big guys. Like, I'm on a plane with, like, Triple H. Everybody else got to drive their, like, Hyundai Sonatas from town to town. But, like, Triple H, Undertaker, those guys, they get on his plane. So I'm in the back and, you know, watching this whole thing go down. And this guy with the turban, he goes, listen, my family says, please, can you stop making fun
oh my God.
Of my turban?
Oh,
because
no.
My people, Tiger Ali Singh. He's
all right.
Like, please, don't make fun of the... He goes, shut up and put on a turban. Please, my people.
I beg you.
Put on the turban.
Like the Jerky Boys, dude. He's just like, people. He's like, I don't want to hear that nonsense. Get out there and put on that stupid turban, you jackass. It was like, oh, my
That's
God.
That's great. Oh, there's the clip from WWE last night.
By the way, someone's pointing out.
Choking the shit out of
someone's pointing out that they taped this on Tuesday, so it's a huge coincidence that...
really?
Yeah, that the bombings were, yesterday?
Yeah, they're choking. I'm dressed in there. We're cutting... a Christian man's head off. Where?
Yeah, but watch how they take the other dude away.
Yeah.
Like he's the martyr.
Yeah.
It was brutal. And you know, I think anything is funny, man. But I was like, this is not good.
Eesh. They even lifted his hair, like his head, like the way.
Oh,
I
yeah,
saw
yeah.
That, and they lifted the Undertaker's head.
I'm telling you,
by the hair.
It was brutal.
Okay, thinking, man. That's a touchy subject. That is a touchy subject.
Hey, to reenact a beheading in a wrestling ring.
Yeah.
Hey, are you... were you responsible for some of the legendary storylines on WWF in recent years? One that comes to mind?
No, I was the fourth man on the totem pole. They have a kid there, this young white kid who's the boss. But if I'd have stayed, I just couldn't deal with what they're asking. I couldn't deal with that little Learjet with them. And, I just couldn't do it because they're very corporate. You have to be committed to their cause. And I just wasn't committed. You know what I'm saying? And I got fired. What's her name? Stephanie fired me like 6 times.
Really?
She kept calling me back and firing me, but she doesn't realize comics just get fired. we just, so she goes, you know you're fired, right? I go, yeah, I understand. I do understand. You know what I mean? I'm not going to.
What would you get fired for?
Because I had a show.
Yeah.
And I said, I can't make it. And she's like, what? You're committed.
Yeah. They want 100% loyalty.
I was like,
over there.
I met Steve Austin. It was good enough. Like, the thing, what I took from it is like how powerful Vince McMahon was, and like how The Rock was cooler than he should have been.
Yeah.
Like, he was just too accessible. I didn't want him to be that accessible. Just like a regular guy. Hey, man. Hey, how you doing? They were real regular guys. And they kissed the writers' asses because the writers make up scenarios.
They make them, yeah.
For them to become whatever. So they this little white kid, he has these giant roided up dudes like
kissing ass.
And he's like,
was he good at what he did?
The kid?
Yeah.
He must have been, because he was Vince's right hand dude, man.
You're fired.
Bye bye.
Do they write scripts or just storylines?
They write everything done.
Really?
There's some who get leeway, like Kurt Angle, the Biggies, they can talk.
Yeah.
They can say words that aren't there sometimes.
But the other guys,
but
you stick to the script.
Do not play around with that, man.
Wow.
He runs that with an iron fist. He's behind the scenes, sitting there at the, when they come out with the explosions.
Uh-huh.
He's there, like, all right, blah, 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 you know, running it.
The director.
All right, here it is.
Oh, you got that one.
Finally.
All right.
I don't mean
make
to
sure
finally.
This one ends up
Eric,
on yeah, Opie and Anthony.
Get it up on opieandanthony.com. So you got
Come over so you can.
Yeah, check this out. So this is the video I was talking about. A white guy with his blonde, good-looking girlfriend.
Ooh, yeah, look at that.
There's a bunch of guys, like, harassing him. It's not fair. Yeah. It's only one black guy. There's,
yeah, they look like white guys.
Yeah,
what's going on?
Well, it turns out to be...
Oh no! Oh shit! You are in trouble when that guy pulls that karate shit out of his hat. You are in trouble.
Look at this black
guy. Now he's scared.
He doesn't know what to do. Look at him.
Oh no!
Look at him. He's
boy!
But he knows, the black guy now knows he can't back down. Right?
Oh no!
So he's looking around like, how do I? What the? How do I?
How do you get out of
and
this?
And he's with his boys. That I'm sorry. I apologize. It looks like it's. Well, maybe there's another black.
Is he black?
Is he black, Opie?
He's not even black, Opie. You.
Come on.
Are you insane?
This guy's black.
This is
looks like a skinhead.
He's light skinned black.
Look
at this
are
you guy.
Sure about that?
Look at this guy. He's in major karate mode now.
This guy's
though.
Not black.
Now watch. He's like, all right, well, I gotta do something. Black guy attempts to throw a
punch.
Is
he gonna try?
He's trying to get in there and watch. Watch this, Ant.
Oh no.
Watch this.
He took a little jab at him. Yeah, that's it. Look at this guy knows how to fight. Look at his arm go. Oh my god. That guy knows how to fight. Wow. His arms were flailing. Like he didn't know what he was doing, but everything was very calculated.
Get that up on OpieAnthony.com.
See how much this guy, how good this guy really is, if he's a bum.
That guy was deflecting everything and then just saw an opening and punched that guy right in the head.
Was
get that
he
up.
Black, that guy?
That guy
no,
was white. That guy
shut
was
up.
White as snow, Opie.
Jesus, Opie.
I was
Opie.
Expecting the rifts to be surrounded.
They don't,
I
know. They don't have to be as dark as Patrice to be considered black.
We're not.
He was like
not
Eric
black.
Church. He was fucking. He was.
There
Asian
wasn't even
Sicilian.
Another black guy in the crowd. There was no black people there.
He lives like suburban houses
that
in the background.
Nothing.
He was doing black stuff.
Oh,
that's what he was doing.
Yeah.
That guy's black.
He was like, "I'll knock you out, sucker." Thank you.
That guy is not black.
He's oh
not
wait,
black.
It's South Beach. He just has a good tan. I'm
where
sorry.
Did you get that he was black?
That guy's black.
God, I don't know
damn.
About that.
He's a skinhead.
I'm going to sue on behalf of all black people. Everything
that guy's
is black.
Black.
But
the point
you're
I'm making.
Racist.
The point
yeah,
I'm making, it looks
exactly.
like looks like the other, the karate dude is in deep shit.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden he goes into karate
when he
mode,
goes into that stance,
you can, you
you're
get
just,
that,
you know
oh,
the guy
no.
is just looking at, oh, damn it, why did
but
I pick this
why
guy?
Why did I pick on this guy?
But no one goes into a karate stance, so you're going, this guy doesn't know karate.
You think?
Who does a karate
well,
stance?
Well, that's what the guy was thinking.
That maybe that's what he was thinking.
That was what the guy was thinking at
look
first.
Look at him. He's blocking everything and comes around with that right and lays him out.
He lays out that alleged black guy.
That white black guy.
I understand Opie's angry at the Jews
wait
that beat up Reginald Bennett.
And then Opie, who emphasizes the black guy, then he did a perfect white get out of it. Anyway, my point is,
all right.
My point is that he got knocked out like a nigger.
That was a white guy.
A white guy, get out of it.
All right, it's look. A nice, bright, sunny, suburban day.
Look, you know what? I'm not going to take this abuse. Get a poll up on opiananthony.com with the video, and we'll have the results on Monday.
Of who, if he's black
man.
Or not?
Oh, yeah.
I wanted to know what style that was. That would have been interesting.
That was.
Oh, that was great.
We should ask Master Paul. That was.
But
really
it was just very interesting.
Showboating.
It really, I know, it was very interesting to see the guy going from, oh my God, this poor guy, to holy shit, this
that?
Guy's got what it
How
takes.
How great. To know that type of shit where you can get into that stance and just go, all right, come on, motherfucker.
Another reason he wasn't black,
yeah.
Let's be honest,
mm-hmm.
that no guns.
Right. See,
black
you,
people
you
do
get
not
the karate
do
stance?
That anymore. And his boys would have not stood, his boys would have shot him
right.
in his back.
Yep.
Well, Rick's on the line. Rick?
Yeah, what's going on, guys?
Hey. Rick?
How's my favorite little Jimmy Norton doing?
Okay.
Get to the point, you fucking asshole!
Please, Rick. You guys, sometimes you guys gotta understand, you have to get right to the point. Other times, we could fuck around a little bit.
Right.
The guy he's fighting is not black, he's a fucking beaner. If you look at
Mexican?
Him, he's got skinny little shorts with a socks
he's
pulled
not
up,
black.
Guy in a red shirt,
Mexican?
And a big wide foot stance.
I don't think he was Mexican line. Either. I think he was a white boy. Because white guys, that happens with white guys. That guy would never feel comfortable enough getting a karate stance when there's that many black dudes around that's harassing.
Yeah. Because, well, you know, I don't care how good you are at karate. That gun comes
somebody's
out.
Somebody's going to get stabbed
it's over
or
Johnny.
Shot, period.
Right.
Well, I thought there was a suburban, like, they would just tie guys that go to, like, a suburban. You can look at the houses in the background. That wasn't, like, a bad neighborhood.
Nobody would feel that comfortable in Harlem getting in the karate stance like that.
Right.
No white guy on planet. He would have mm-hmm. said, look, I know karate, please. Or I have a cell phone and I know numbers.
Let's go to Brian in Philly. Brian?
Hey, I just wanted to say that that white guy went into pet battle mode, punching out.
Damn it!
Right? I mean, it's fine and dandy to call the show and go, hey, Op, hey, Anth, hi, Jimmy, something like that, fine. But it's the guys that call up and go, hi, Buttercup, and then wait. They wait for a response and then go, all right, what I wanted to say, get to the point.
Just
say hi to the show. And get to your point.
But the point I'm going to make, there's times where that makes sense.
You of course.
Know the rhythm of the show. Sometimes
right.
we're lazy, slow, suck, have fun. But then there's times where we're rocking. Let's go. You got to help us and keep us going here.
Our hi, awful. Honey puss.
Hi. Hi, Hope. Hi, Aunt. Hi, how you doing? Hi, Jimmy, little sugar tits.
That's like being on a highway, 70, 75 miles an hour, and for no reason whatsoever, you just decide to go down to 40.
Yeah, right. For nothing.
And then you go back up to 70, 75.
If we're all driving at 40, join us at 40.
Right. If we're going 75, 80, let's go.
You know, to
let's
be honest
stay
with you.
Stay with traffic.
Yes.
I'm pretty savvy in the business, but I don't know if I would know how to come in and stick with the rhythm. I might call in and not even know what the rhythm is.
Then we only want professional callers.
We only want pro
These
callers.
Dopes that
That's a lie. I mean, y'all dig it.
Can't keep
there.
Up.
Keep up with the rhythm, stupid.
I'm pulling up on this guy's bumper at 40 miles an
yeah,
hour.
Exactly.
I'm speeding along.
All right, Patrice O'Neill in studio today doing a great
we
job.
We want to find out what happened to Keith.
Yeah, we will. Well, let's take a quick break. We all have to take leaks.
When
and
he's
stuff,
supposed
man.
To be here, too?
Yeah, yep. Keith is, I talked to him this morning. He wasn't, you know, he's handling business.
Business.
He handles his family's business. Keith is the patriarch.
The
right?
patriarch.
The patriarch
of the Robinson clan.
Of the clan, man. He has to run business.
Yeah.
Does he have something going on, or is he just being Keith?
Nah, I think I believe him, man. I know Nothing when else? Keith is lying,
yeah.
you know, when he's just like, I can't robble. When he's not robble. robble. But he wasn't. He was, you know, you can hear he has something on his mind or whatever. But no one cares. He's still stupid. He's just living in New York. So when he has things on his mind, he can come into the radio station. He's in Philly. He's an ass.
All right, here we go.
Hey, Poe, what do you think?
Yeah, Master Poe is studying the video.
Poe, have you seen the whole thing?
Is he black or white?
Well,
he's Master Poe. That's somebody.
Poe, did you see the guy go into stance?
Yeah, and you wouldn't do that in a, as he was saying, in a bad neighborhood because they'll just break your leg. Someone
yeah.
that knows how to fight, they'll just crack your leg right in half.
Really?
Yeah. Nobody
I don't know. That.
That
seems like his leg is outstretched pretty far.
Do you watch the UFC? No yeah. one does that.
No, they get together and just tie people in
they
a
just,
knot.
Just,
but the guy got the job done in the end.
Because they can all fight, though. He knew he was fighting some street fighting guy who just was going to box him a little bit. Those guys in the UFC can all do that.
But he did, like, a whole thing with his arms, and it was like, uh-oh, now you're in trouble.
What was his style, Paul?
I believe it was either wushu or, well, kung fu. Wushu. Yeah, wushu.
I like the wushu Kenpo, pork.
Right? No, wushu.
It was wushu.
Yeah, it looked like it because he had a long stance.
Yeah.
And
when he was shooing the blacks.
And if you notice
anything,
yeah,
wushu.
If you notice,
that was so fucking awful. Was funny.
My job. Come up with the bad ones. Thanks, Patrice.
He was wushuing.
Now the strike at the very end.
Yeah.
Was not calculated.
No.
No, it wasn't. He.
What was he doing? I saw his arms like flailing, but
he was
in a defensive mode.
Well,
he was
blocking
a lot.
Yeah, he was.
And then it looked like that right came out. It looked a little calculated.
That looked on purpose to me, yeah.
I don't know fighting like Pono's
fighting.
I don't
have a trained eye.
Yeah.
A lot of people are now seeing the video because it's up on opiananthony.com, and they're starting to say that looks more like a lucky shot.
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
A lucky white guy shot. Let's just say he's mixed.
Yeah.
He's not a black guy.
No, that is absolutely not a black guy.
No.
And
it's
that.
Not a black area because no one feels that comfortable getting in the stance like that.
Nope.
I don't know. You might in an area, if you're scared, you might do that just to try to, like, intimidate people.
Why do that stance when you could spend that time running as quickly as you can away from...
Because you got your chick, which, you know, finally...
Hey, sorry.
The dude was a sitting duck because, he was there with his chick.
He could have got killed, man.
It was probably the chick that got him in the situation.
Yeah.
You know, she was probably...
She said, look at that black guy. Yeah. And the guy wasn't black, and it pissed him off.
That's why pimping has to come into focus here. Baby, keep your effing mouth shut.
It's easier to smack your bitch than it is getting in a fight.
Exactly. Keep her in line.
Just go shut up and smack her.
Keep your bitch in line. Bitch, shut up.
Yeah, ladies, we spent a lot of time with you acting like we're the toughest thing going, but the reality is we're the biggest wimps going, and please don't get us in trouble out there.
Especially with people that are supposed to be black.
Holy shit.
Might be Mexican.
How many times have you had, you know, your girlfriend or something, so there's some kind of traffic problem, she's beeping your horn obnoxiously, and then they turn around and there's little old you behind the wheel, like, thanks.
Well, they blurt out stuff like, you know, go fuck yourself, and you're, oh, now I'm the guy.
Now, your girl might as well have said. Your girl's not a big mouth, right?
No, confrontations like
my
that.
Brand
in the movie theater,
she
said something in the movie theater once. Yeah. So why don't you shut the fuck up to some Hispanic woman.
Damn it, Sean from Jersey.
And she was with a whole family. And her boyfriend, the Spanish woman's boyfriend, my girlfriend said, why don't you shut the fuck up? Because it escalated to that point. And she went, what'd you say? And the boyfriend went, uh-oh, you put her in battle mode. I was like, oh. And I did what any self-respecting guy would did. Got up and left the theater. Got the manager.
No way.
I want the manager.
Customer service.
My movie-going experience has been ruined by this Hispanic woman.
If your teeth are under the seat in front of you, press 1. Your girlfriend is being raped. Press 3.
If you know the rape you like to see.
The movie theater owner, the manager... put me in another theater that the movie that I was watching. I was about half an hour into, I think it was Mission Impossible 2. And another Mission Impossible 2 was starting at a theater next to this one. So he moved me into that theater. And that theater was just full of scared white people that were chased out of the other theater. We're all just looking at each other with no self-respect.
Is that Tom Cruise? Tom Cruise!
That's what was happening. Oh, he looked fine.
Uh-oh.
That's all I was hearing.
That happened in War of the Worlds. I just saw War of the Worlds.
Oh, really?
Uh-oh, watch out.
Oh, here it comes. Uh-oh.
Uh-oh, you better watch. Oh, he gone now. Where'd he come from? Right out the ground?
Oh, boy.
right out the ground.
Please don't be a stereotype, little girl.
Oh. What?
Getting some of the ringtones going on the phones.
Oh God! Don't fuck it. Because black guys don't even talk in the theater no more. We handle quick. It's a quick. Yo, I watch the movie. But girls, black parrots.
Don't
girl.
And don't say a fucking word about
it. You for a white boy.
We're gonna rewind back to that video. We got Sean in Jersey. Sean, go ahead.
Hey, guys, I just saw the video. Actually, his technique is called coon shoe.
Oh, you asshole!
That was the obvious line, though. That's why I wanted.
I want white people to be able to do that for the rest of their life so I can be racist. Thank you,
yeah.
Sir. Coon shoe. Coon fu. Coon fu.
You know, the talking in the theaters has to stop, because a few years ago, when I saw Stardust Memories at the Magic Johnson Theater, it was amazing how much talking was going on.
The Magic Johnson Theater. Oh. God damn.
God. Oh. Stardust. That's the Magic Johnson Theater.
It is just a chore, though, some
What's
of
all this? What's all this slow music? What?
I used to go in Brooklyn. I used to go to the movie theater in Brooklyn. It was just a nightmare for me. And now I go to Great Neck, and it's just full of Jews, and they don't talk during the movie. They just sit there and watch the movie. Although I did see Downfall, which was a little odd watching it with a bunch of Jews. And it's
that
Hitler,
sucks too when there's
the
no
Hitler bunker movie.
Emotion at the theater either. I mean, War of the Worlds was the people. Why would you see it? It was like parrots in there, but it was still. You know, you need that.
You need that energy.
You need that.
Yeah. Was it a good movie? We're here.
I'm gonna be honest with you. Mm-hmm. It was two movies. The greatest movie I ever saw on that in that particular alien thing, better than anything. And the worst movie I ever saw because of that Dakota Fanning. I've never wished a child was killed in a movie before.
You don't like the little Dakota Fanning?
She made me sick.
She's adorable.
She is. There's nothing childlike. There was no childlike.
Well, I know.
She's a 30-year-old woman.
She's like,
trapped
daddy,
in a,
yeah. Daddy.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, and Tom Cruise was so good in the movie because he was so a non-hero. He was just trying to keep his kids alive. One is calling him by his first name, and he's trying to get him to call him Dad. And the other one's like, Daddy, are we going to live today, Dad? It was like, you could see that when they said cut, she was going, Steven, did I give you what you needed on that particular...
She's like that on every...
On the award shows, you watch the award shows. She gives speeches.
She's like a 30-year-old woman trapped in a 10-year-old body.
She ruined the movie for me.
Really?
I'm telling you how bad she was in that movie.
You ever seen any other movies she's in? The De Niro one?
Well,
the horror movie there with De Niro?
Didn't see that. Saw Man on Fire. And
right.
She wasn't bad in that because she was kidnapped through the entire movie.
Yeah,
and diddled.
I've never wished a kid was like, oh, yeah. please.
I'd like to see her in the JonBenet Ramsey story. That'd be great, her with that little cowboy hat on and a garrote around her throat.
Is that just wrong to say that about a kid?
Yeah, it probably is, yeah.
Like, but not her dead as a person, but in the movie, just...
In the movie, just have her killed.
Just get rid of
her. Right away, early
Daddy,
on.
The aliens, Daddy. Right.
Well, we're going to continue with Patrice O'Neill. Are we plugging anything?
I'm doing Caroline's tonight with Voss.
Ooh.
Voss and Bonnie.
Oh, what time?
Right, the dynamic duo.
I don't know, whenever Voss crawls out of Bonnie's asshole for 5 seconds,
yeah, good
we're
going
to do a comedy show. So
I want to go down there
12:30.
Tonight. Oh, you're doing the late show?
The late show is me,
okay.
Greer, Voss, Bonnie, and whoever comes through.
Oh, tonight's a Friday. I thought it was Thursday.
I know, I'm thinking
Friday.
I thought it was Wednesday, actually.
Oh, wow.
Wednesday?
Yeah,
oh, because
we had a couple of days
off. Well, that was good.
We'll go to break with the Stephen Lynch song that kind of makes sense now, I guess.
It does?
It's a song about liking black chicks, basically.
Song for every occasion.
Yeah.
I'm actually enjoying like Norton's intro music to his shows, man. It's like not my new favorite.
Oh, did you get it?
Yeah.
Oh, man. It used to be... Iron Man, but now it's like Norton's intro. I love that song.
It's a National Acrobat off Sabbath, Bloody Sabbath.
Of course it's Sabbath.
Yes. But it has a beat to it. This song is, as soon as you clap,
Metallica.
Metallica. You like that?
Yeah, white guys rule.
We got lots going on here. Patrice O'Neill in studio.
Yeah. What the hell were we yapping about off the air?
The water thing? You want to go down
Oh, my God,
that
yeah.
was pretty interesting, actually.
You got it, because I can't...
Oh, yeah.
I can't imagine that type of mindset where
absolutely.
Some guy is telling you this and he's serious.
So I do a show. It's a private show. It's not for Michael Dell. It's for his money managers who are super rich, and they get... I think, because I, you know.
That's a corporate gig, basically.
It was
you guys
a corporate gig.
Do.
And they were learning about me. They were asking me black questions. You know what's,
yeah.
it, what's it like to.
Like an exchange program. Yeah.
Wow. You know.
They get people like Patrice to entertain them in between their meetings and
oh,
stuff.
Oh, no. They had, and they had, as the in a room entertaining 20 people, Blinded by the Light. What group is that?
Steve Miller Band.
But they had them, like,
really?
In a room playing this music for in front of 20 rich people.
When you're all multi-gazillionaires and you have a little party for yourself, you don't just get some wedding band or you get, like, Steve Miller. You just pop them in a room.
It's God.
With the Christmas party?
Well, the Christmas party was funny, but that was because, you know... Well, tell that really fast. And then
Bradley Delp, the singer from Boston. Remember the band Boston?
One of the biggest bands, one of the biggest albums of all time, first one.
Boston. And he was playing Beatles. He was playing Beatle covers in a Beatle cover band for our radio station's Christmas party up in Boston.
So he's playing. This guy was selling out arenas in the 70s, had one of the biggest albums ever. Fast forward a few years, and it's Ant and I and the rest of the dopey DJs at the station with our dates watching him do Beatles songs.
But should he
in
not
front of 100
been,
people.
Now, there's a difference between, like, you should be doing that and you shouldn't. Like, it's like, okay, you see that show on NBC with all the old bands that used to
be. We love that show.
Yeah. It's like...
Hit me, baby,
they
one more time.
They should be. So maybe the guy from Boston should be doing that because he can't help it. You don't have a career.
He said, we talked to him. He said that's what he wants to do.
If he's still got the royalty money rolling in from Boston,
sure,
and he's all set for life and he likes Beatles tunes and wants to do that.
By the way,
God bless him.
In all fairness, he does an unbelievable job, too.
Of course he did. He's got a great voice.
End of the night, and could sing a tune or two. He's up there drunk just
singing
with Greg.
Help out. I got to say I sang with the singer from Boston.
Because by the third set, no one's paying attention. Because it's a Christmas party, everyone's hammered, and here's this guy that used to be a rock
Phil
superstar.
Phil Arenas in the 70s, yeah.
I want to be detached enough to just go make money. That's why I'm just not, I don't have anything. Because I can't get detached. I get depressed.
You can't get detached from what, though?
Meaning I can't, like, I should want to just go perform in front of a bunch of rich white people every 5 minutes. Hey, baba doo bop, ding bop, bang. You know, man, it was like a guy who did Dr. Evil guy. He did that, and he gets paid, and he just
walks around like Dr.
Evil. $1 million, and he got paid and left, and I'm trying to...
It was really him?
It was you know, whatever.
Real fast, John in Astoria, let's get past this. Go ahead, John.
Hey, what's up, guys? I just want to let you know, it's not Steve Miller Band. That's Manfred Mann's Earth Band that sang that song.
Oh, is that it? He's right, too.
Just felt like correcting you.
All right, thanks, John. Bruce
redid it.
I think Bruce did originally, then Manfred. I don't know.
And it was like, so I'm in front of these rich, I mean, they're like Michael Dell was the richest of all. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's $20 billion, and everything.
$20 billion with a B.
And it trickles down. Like, I was asking so many questions, like, how did you become this rich, you know? And his whole thing, you know how he became rich, because you're talking about him today.
Yeah.
He cut out stores. That's what he did. He just, he built the computers for $600 and sells them to you for $700.
Because he doesn't have stores.
Have blah, blah, blah. That's why he's worth
fucking customer
$1 billion. So I'm in room, if somebody in there was worth $3 million, and I was talking to him, he goes, I own a... this business that I'm worth $4 million. I'm like, Jesus, you're like, hey, nigga. Right? I'm like, you're a joke, you poor son of a bitch. So I'm talking to this guy, you know, everybody in there, Lear Jets and da-da-da, and they're at the table. And it's fair enough. They're going to ask me black questions. Some ask them white questions, which was much more important, you know what I mean? Like, you know, saving money and things like that. And I'm like, look, I'm just trying to. I just bought a plasma TV for no reason at all, without a warranty. So I go to the dude. He goes, "Yes." So I said, "What do you do?" Well, I market different ideas. Like, I met the guy who owns the rights to what's the Skycam?
Really?
He owns Skycam.
The rights to Skycam.
The idea of Skycam is his.
So when any news agency goes to the Skycam, he's getting a check.
That wire cam that flies around the NFL and
that thing.
He owns that. So I'm talking to guys like this. One guy goes, yeah, market different ideas. I have an idea. We're marketing new water, marketed towards black people. And I go, oh, really? Yeah. I go, so I'm looking at him like waiting for his face to go, ah, just buy it.
Waiting
just,
for
boom,
a punchline
tickle, tickle.
Or something.
Nothing. He's dead serious. So he goes, yes, we're thinking about calling it H2Yo. Just, and I go, I'll sue you right now, motherfucker. He looks at me because I thought it was a joke.
Right.
He looks at me like, you, who invited this low-class motherfucker?
Like it couldn't possibly be real.
Like,
H2Yo.
I kept looking at him sideways. You know how you talk to somebody and they say something,
yeah,
and you need somebody else to look at to go, is this nigga joking? H2Yo, did you just say? And he was dead serious. And that's who I was, dealing with, man. It was just, it was an unbelievable adventure.
Yeah.
Because those were the white people. When white people, black people talk about white people, that's them. That's them. It's not like just the average guy.
Right,
this,
walking on
the
street going to work or something.
No,
yeah.
It's the guys like, you know, who make decisions in life. $20 billion, man. Michael Dell can't go broke.
That have no clue what's going on
he
in the real world.
He can't go broke. They said he's being sued by 40 people right now. It's just like he can't go broke.
That's just business as usual, it's being sued by that many people.
Unbelievable.
It's like you cutting a check for like the electric company or something.
Yeah.
That's it.
But I like the idea of H2Yo. I think that's actually a big seller.
H2Yo.
Like market. He's going to market in Atlanta. And I'm like, I'm sitting there going, man, are you serious, dude?
Wow.
And he's dead serious. Is there a problem? Like, I'm doing jokes. This is these people. I'm doing jokes. Like, hey, so what's with these goddamn Indians at the airport? I'm doing an Indian now. Hacky. Hey, dibble day. And they're, like, looking like, I know this is supposed to be funny, but... and I go, I look at him, I go, you motherfucker, y'all don't... No one here flies regularly? they all fly Learjet.
They're so rich, they
so
don't
they
even
couldn't
know...
Even
they don't
understand.
Know what an airport is.
They don't understand dibble what the inner workings is what they, of an airport.
You should have said That's something funny. Like, don't you hate when the caviar tumbles off the cracker?
That's pretty interesting.
Yeah, it was an unbelievable... night.
And the servant puts the salad fork on the inside.
Come on, huddle, huddle. And it seems like to us right now, it's like, oh, yeah, that's, but it's like that.
Yeah, it's really like that.
What is it when you run out of toilet paper or anything human?
They have not a clue.
Like Michael Dell will come up to me. He was like, because they want to talk to a regular person. And he was talking to me. And I'm like, listen, do me a big favor. Don't try to be down to earth with me. Could you not do that? Can you just stay some type of untouchable billion? Don't put it this way. Don't try to be my friend and not give me $1 million.
Right. If you're going to play that shit, cut me a check.
Exactly. Do not try to be down to earth with me like a regular guy.
Did he hook you up with a free computer at least?
Nah, man.
I'm looking at... What is that?
No, it's not the water. It's just another H2Yo product.
H2Yo.
You mean he's going to be in court fighting for the name?
But you know,
it's
you know,
cheap,
50 Cent
small
owns,
and effective noisemaker.
Vitamin water. You know, that's
really?
50 Cent.
Really?
Vitamin. The you know, vitamin water.
That's
right?
Taking over the world, of course.
That's 50 Cent.
Wow. Like he needs more money too.
He owns it.
Wow.
Jesus. Well, you got to give it to him. I guess it works.
Then I messed. I hope I didn't mess it up for 50. Where white people know they're drinking his water.
Yeah. Right.
Oh my God.
Yeah. 1 million spit takes just happened.
What?
All right, we got some other things really fast. Anthony, we're doing this assault on the media contest.
As long as you don't tell me Biz Markie owns Smartwater.
It's the contest is officially on. The month of July is the assault on the media contest.
I think I saw one last night online.
Yeah, that's the one I'm going to acknowledge here. It's Buffalo Paul. He's in the lead.
Yeah.
A hardcore fan of the show, a pest. Loves spreading the virus in many, many ways in the Buffalo area. He's a true pest of the Opie and Anthony show, Anthony. Well, Buffalo Paul struck WGRZ-TV in Buffalo, an NBC affiliate, early, I guess, yesterday. He executed a flawless assault on the media, they're saying.
Yes, it was.
Actually, the video's up on OpieandAnthony.com.
No one got fired either.
He got a sign behind reporter Claudine Ewing. Photos and videos are up on OpieandAnthony.com. And the pest who pulls off the best assault on the media will win an XM MiFi and a whole bunch of other cool stuff from the show. We're still trying to figure that out, actually. We want to do concert tickets or something, but it's a national contest, so we got to figure out the prizes. But definitely a MiFi for the best assault on the media in the month of July. Mm-hmm. And Buffalo Paul is certainly in the lead, okay?
I'm looking at it now, and look how he got the names in there, the faces. He moves the sign so you can see.
the name. And great job.
And he's wearing a official Opie and Anthony Spread the Virus T-shirt, Anthony.
Yes, he is.
That you could get through my brother.
That was a great assault.
That link is also up on opiananthony.com because my brother now has the Pest T-shirts as well. So
yes, Jimmy?
Isn't that great? That's our thing.
We're fucking crazy, man.
Oh, there's a sign?
I saw that in the news. Like, everybody's like, open.
So annoying.
Dude, that's our, yeah,
just
that's our
pests.
Thing. Our thing, just to be annoying pests.
Somebody stole my satellite radio, so I don't even know anything anymore.
They stole your satellite radio?
Yeah, broke it to my truck, yeah.
It got Opie's, too.
Yeah, they stole mine. It's a hot item, I guess, to steal.
Jeez.
What the hell are they going to do with it? It's subscriber-based. It's like
you... Even, like...
They don't know what it is. They just see a little thing mounted. They figure it's a
I think they think it's a navigation system or something because...
Yeah.
What can you really do with it if you steal it out of someone's truck? And then in other Opie and Anthony news, our old producer, good old Rick, has a new job.
He does.
All right.
And he's making the news and TV in San Francisco.
Oh.
Tsunami song producer to start Bay Area morning show Monday on Wild 94.9. The morning doghouse got canned for making offensive comments, and there's an even more controversial personality taking their place.
At least there's not many Asians in San Francisco.
Yeah, what the fuck is he thinking?
Jeez, he went to, like, Asian headquarters.
Actually, it's not even his fault. It, you know, they decided to hire him there, and we wish him luck, obviously. But, yeah, there's a huge... I didn't even think about that.
Giant.
San Francisco.
Yeah.
So San Francisco.
Yeah, that's where it is.
It's
Yeah, they had to make him go all the way to San Francisco, man.
Yeah, chased his ass all the way across the country.
But if he got kicked out of New York,
yeah,
which is, you know, the worst place you could be in terms of people and what they'll deal with, he's went to OPC San Francisco?
I know. They're going to love his friggin' gay songs and stuff.
Oh, poor Rick.
I'm so gay. Remember that one?
We love that one.
With his AIDS references and everything else. Oh, they'll love him there.
So a lot of controversy.
I think he's just hoping that all the people that listen don't have the strength to pick up the phone because they're having a bad day.
Oh, my God.
I'd love to complain, but I'm just going to pet my dog and wait for my friend to come over.
Oh, my God.
Little Sharpay in their lap.
Oh, he's going to have a good time in San Francisco. Oof.
By the way, Clay in Mississippi wants in. Go ahead, Clay.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hey, I was just wondering if this H2O was going to be packaged as a 40.
Here we go.
I can't believe that a stereotypical cracker voice would make a stereotypical... It's like, I want air as a 40.
You
I
can't believe.
Are you driving an Indy car while you're saying that, you dick?
Dude, we got to get one caller from Alabama before you get out of here.
God damn, let me tell you.
God damn, H2O, 40.
Oh, you make it sound like a good act. You got to hear the real people from Alabama. Here's one of Rick's songs, by the way.
Which one?
He's going to be in the San Francisco market.
All right, San Francisco, here's what you can expect from our own Rick Delgado.
Why y'all doing that?
His voice, man. His words.
We're all gay. In our T cells low, we got the HIV.
Welcome to Frisco.
It's a great way to lose some weight on our way to Christopher's Tree.
Why don't you have them cancel this ticket to San Francisco?
Dead in days, lesions all over my
lesions.
Face. Pound my eggs and grab some ADZ. Watch my life wither away on our way to Christopher Street.
And how does he go?
On our way to Christopher Street. On our way to Christopher Street.
Wow.
How do you get past one verse?
Right.
Like he's brainstorming. Wither away. Yeah, lesions.
In all fairness.
I think he wrote down AIDS key phrases.
Dude, in all fairness, we love that song. It makes us laugh a lot.
Oh.
But we
just got him fired. You just got him picketed.
Oh, they are not going to play that when he gets there, I'm sure.
Somebody is drawing a picket sign right now.
Knowing Rick, though, he's the type of guy that'll start the show, you know. Is he going to be on the air, or is he just producing, or I don't know what the deal is, but he'll start with that thing, and it's okay.
Hey, this is great. Play this.
But anyway, it's big news in San Francisco and in the radio community, and I guess the news is all over in San Francisco. I got the story in front of me. So Rick Delgado, the twice-fired former producer of Opie and Anthony and Miss Jones in the Morning, will produce Strawberry in the Morning starting Monday at 6.
Strawberry in the Morning?
Oh. Delgado was the guy behind broadcasting a couple allegedly having sex in St. Pat's Cathedral.
Really?
So Miss Jones is going to San Francisco, too?
No. Just in, you know, they all copy each other. So
he,
like,
I think that he was saying that he's the former producer of Miss Jones' show.
Okay,
is going to San Francisco.
Okay.
For the Strawberry? What?
Strawberry in the Morning.
Oh, was that him?
Strawberry in the Bum Rush.
Oh, Strawberry's not even a chick?
No, Strawberry's a guy.
Oh, God. I was ready to say Strawberry's hot. Thank God I didn't say that. Because there's a chick in the picture. So I'm assuming she's got to be Strawberry.
Mm.
Let's see. Delgado was the guy behind broadcasting a couple allegedly having sex in St. Pat's Cathedral and the one who created a song that made fun of Asian tsunami victims.
Now, that song was funny. Come on.
Go find your mommy.
Yeah.
Everyone knows it now.
A tree right through your head.
All they did was just list real facts.
Right. Put it to music.
There's a big old wave.
The mistake.
He's ready to drown you, and you can't breathe because you're underwater, and your lungs are filled with stuff.
The mistake he made was he had that song written, and the tragedy wasn't even 24 hours old.
Oh, like, the second it happened.
Wait a little while.
Just go find your mommy.
Oh. Child slavery.
Oh.
But what's
a double-decker bus. It just exploded.
It just exploded in Liverpool Station.
Screaming limeys coming out of the subway with blood on their faces.
A mommy-less Christmas.
Jesus. Run, you limey, run.
And Angelina Jolie is adopting all of those tsunami kids, by the way.
Yeah, she's grabbing them all up.
Jeez.
Like they're going to be worth something.
How about a black kid or something? Just
something.
Somebody,
help out.
Somebody American, third world American. Get a Puerto Rican.
You guys, what is that, Strawberry?
Yep. Yeah, this gets a little more interesting. The story, okay, station exec Kim Bryant tells a story that explains why she made this controversial hire.
Oh, she has to explain herself.
Because a lot of people thought that Rick was not going to get hired.
Unhirable, again. Just like us.
She explains. The story comes from Clear Channel executive Ed Kramp, whose father was hospitalized with a heart problem.
Yeah.
Kramp, because it's MPF. So
Kramp?
I think it's just Kramp.
Kramp.
Was in the hospital room.
Trying to say his own name?
Kramp. Was in the hospital room and saw his father looking worse. He told a nurse, and the nurse said his father looked all right. Then his father went code blue and had to be treated immediately. The next day, a nursing supervisor told Kramp that they would have another nurse take over his father's care. But Kramp said no. He wanted the same nurse, the one who had learned his lesson, to continue caring for his dad.
Oh, I got you. So the guy that learned his lesson is going to do a better job.
Because he learned that lesson.
Because he learned his lesson, then the new guy you bring in that hasn't learned his lesson.
I thought they wanted Rick to carry out his fucking, his bedpan or something.
Yeah, I thought they wanted Rick to write a song.
He went code blue.
Breathe, you fucker, breathe.
That's it. Wow, that's very profound.
Join Rick Delgado as he joins us with his CD called Obvious.
But then it goes on here. That's an important story for all of us, said Bryant. This is Kim Bryant. The best person for the job may be the one who has learned from his mistakes.
So says Kramp.
It's a gutsy move by Bryant, the highest-ranking female in local radio, who oversees 11 Clear Channel stations, including blah, 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 blah.
Clear Channel hired Rick?
Yeah.
Wow.
I wish there was more women like that in the business.
Yeah.
She's pretty cool. I can't hate her for that.
It's a good move.
Dude, I applaud them. I give them credit, you know? I mean,
Did you guys learn your lesson?
Well.
No. No, you know what? people think we learned our lesson because, you know, we're not sending people into church to have sex. But it's not even about learning a lesson. We're just as big of douchebags as we were then. But now we're just a little smarter.
Yeah,
we'll
just get fired for
something. We want.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's
I want at least a little more time where I'm getting a paycheck coming in. That's about it. Yeah. And then we'll blow it up by
then.
Oh my God!
You can't figure out who's offended by what.
Ah, of course.
There's some Delgado quotes.
Oh, great!
And he loves the spotlight, so he's loving this today. Brian says Delgado and the new show featuring local DJ Strawberry and Faye Carmona Last in Miami will be more community-oriented and listener-friendly than the Doghouse, the show they're replacing, which she said got to be more about the host and the community.
Uh-oh.
In a surprising interview.
Surprising. Oh, boy. Should I snap in? Should I snap in? I took my seatbelt off when I went to the bathroom. I think I should buckle in for one of Rick's comments.
Rick was always known for his ridiculous quotes to the media. Remember how he described our show? That's legendary.
Yeah. If you're not laughing in the first 20 minutes,
then
this show isn't for you. Thanks, Rick.
In the first 20 minutes?
We have inside jokes that people that have been listening for 2 years don't fucking get.
There are people that will finally start laughing, yes, 2 years later because
they finally get one of our stupid inside jokes or movie references.
And then realize how brilliant we actually are.
We make movie references no one understands until they see the movie a year later. 20 minutes, give him. Thanks, Rick.
This show is never about trying to hit him with a laugh right away. It's a whole thing that goes on. It's a culture. It's an Opie and Anthony culture.
Yeah.
So here's a surprising interview. In a surprising interview, Delgado said he thinks he was misinterpreted and wrote a song that was only in bad taste but not racist, even though it used an epithet for Chinese people.
Epithet.
He said he won't do that again because... And I quote, "I like their food and want to eat in the restaurants."
Jesus.
Oh, see. He just doesn't learn. At least wait for first day on the job. He's not even working yet.
And listen to this. He also recalled that shock jock Howard Stern called him a scumbag.
Oh, yeah? What? When did that happen?
I don't know. I really don't know. I don't know how much that says, he added.
Does he remark that Ben Sparks also called him the same thing?
Yeah.
On a daily basis?
Hey, Rick got hired.
Come here.
Ben and Steve obsessed with Rick. Absolutely obsessed.
I don't know what he thinks he's going to do in San Francisco. He's probably gossiping already online.
Oh, chatty Cathy's all of them.
Y'all are really silently getting this boy's career destroyed.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he's finishing San Francisco.
Nah, he'll be all right.
Love Rick.
Yeah, I do like the kid. And
but
he,
when the
he
first sissy,
job.
Come on, when they play the Tsunami and they play this song, the Sesame Street gay song.
Oh, it's over.
Brian said he would be monitored closely to make sure it didn't happen again. And then Christine Chan, executive director of the National Organization of Chinese Americans, said her, said her group will also closely monitor the show.
Oh, great. He's sunk.
An Asian woman. You know, they have a great sense of humor.
Yeah. Where's his other song?
Asian women are like...
Which song?
I'm so gay, I'm so gay, I'm so, I'm so gay.
That's old school.
Damn.
All right, and then I guess you could comment about Rick's hiring.
Yeah.
Because that was an online article, and then, you know, you could comment about the articles you read.
Of course.
Here's a couple of the comments. Clear Channel has some nerve to hire him in a market with a huge Asian population.
Yeah, there you go.
He must have agreed to work for pennies, or Clear Channel is pretty darn desperate. As a 21-year-old male, I'm boycotting Wild 94.9.
A 21-year-old male said that?
He wrote
no
darn,
way.
Pretty darn desperate?
No way. No way that's a 21-year-old guy that wrote that.
The next comment, San Francisco will love Rick. He's just right for the people there.
Oh, what does that mean?
I don't know. But then the next one is the one making me chuckle. This morning show will be so good, I can't wait to tune in. Tell him Fred.
Really? Yes. People are commenting. That's great.
What in the world is 94.9 thinking? This is preposterous and unthinkable with the horrid rap sheet that this guy has had. The Bay is home to diversity and the appreciation of different backgrounds, genders, and ethnicity. This decision will not only lead me to boycott the station, but to also tell other members of the Asian community to beware of what has come about to this station.
No one needs you.
Bear in mind,
Asians really don't have much of a pull.
And they're not. Listen, they do not. That's what I couldn't understand from the Hot 97 thing. It's like, when did Asians get fear power? When did we start worrying about...
When did
about,
that happen?
Like, what do they buy? What do people market to Asians for them to destroy a show?
Exactly, besides very small condoms. And fucking bowls for their hairdos.
But SARS masks. Only thing that Asians make me laugh is that when there's an Asian with an American first name and their regular last name. like Jacqueline Wu.
Arthur Chien.
Teddy Cho, line three.
Peter Cho, line three.
Yeah, what's that all about?
Teddy Cho, line three. Oh, my God.
Marty Yang.
Marty Yang.
Let's go to Marty Yang for the story.
I don't...
Stop it.
You know it's a white dad and an Asian mother.
Yeah.
I don't want to lose all my culture. All right, we'll keep the last name. Oh.
Marty Yang. Hello. Yes, this is Marty Yang, and I like to say, what?
Marty?
Marty Yang.
Stop it. Your name's Marty.
Spell your name. Two squiggle lines. Four bricks and a question mark tied in a knot.
Yeah, all of a sudden they got, like, fear power, where people now, you know, you got, oh, watch out, they're going to boycott.
Yeah, they're
going to boycott.
I mean, not to say they can't make, I mean, they got people fired from the, but...
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's a lot of them, but they're not up there yet. Like,
nah.
the top fear goes to Jews. I said
you
this
think?
Before.
I
top,
think I think black.
Top,
I think
don't
black.
Black is second.
No, I think black is first.
Absolutely not, man. Not in society. Jews get you fired. Black people make you nervous,
black
and they could
get
you fired.
You come off looking like a racist, it's worse than coming off looking like an
anti-Semite. Absolutely not. No,
I think
effing
no
way.
I think
and
so.
Show business, I got to agree with Patrice. I'll tell you why.
All
because
right.
When you look at Marlon Brando.
The Jews run the business?
Well, yeah. Well, but Marlon Brando said it wrong, but what he was saying is every ethnicity has been stereotyped. The blacks, the Italians, everything but mm-hmm. Jews. He's like, you never see that stereotype portrayed in films like you would blaxploitation movies or The Godfather or Goodfellas. You never see that Jewish stereotype. I would have to agree and say that that's the most.
You think... If there were three Jews walking in Howard Beach and one of them got beat over the head with a bat, do you honestly think there'd be an outrage and marches and Reverend Al
different,
type?
Different kind of... It's like black people are afraid of black people's...
You can
marches.
Just stop right there.
They're afraid of our
afraid of black
our,
people.
as a group when we
yeah.
when we galvanize to not like something.
Come in the neighborhood,
they're
yeah.
They're afraid of Jews in terms of... Uh-oh, did he just say anti? I think celebrities should be more afraid of Jews, maybe. Maybe the average racist should be more afraid of black people. We'll give
yeah.
we'll give and take. We'll give.
I
we'll
think
give
as far as, well, I, maybe I'm just thinking more on a personal level as far as radio goes. Let's say radio.
You should be if more afraid of Jews than black people.
No, I
think.
I'm with Patrice.
I think, no. Yeah, you know why? Because if there's a Jew that's in charge of the radio station, let's say,
mm-hmm.
he will definitely take it as... yeah, let's just say there is.
You're being the CEO of this company.
He will take what is being said, even if it's negative as far as Jews go, because it's working, it's getting ratings, and it's making money. Let's just say.
But you're talking about the one Jew who's making them.
The one that's making the decision whether to pull the plug based on complaints.
Like your Howard Beach thing, I think if you hit, like no one likes the curly Q Jews, the ones with the coats walking around. People just want to see them get beat on top of their stupid top hats.
The Hasidic.
The Hasidic.
The Hasidic.
With the curly fries hanging from the side
right.
of them.
The Hasidic.
On the top of the stupid
give
top.
Me that dumb top hat.
I think we keep going. We're going to find out what's worse.
You know what? But it's like, look, black, I agree. Black people in terms of, like, that's why, like, Abner Louima,
mm-hmm.
Amadou Diallo, this is why... Now, look, I tend to believe that those particular cases are worse than Rodney King. That's
yeah.
what I feel.
Right.
Shot 41 times and the plunge in your ass. But they're African and Haitian.
Right.
They're not, they ostracize themselves from black people. When black people get on your ass, it's serious business. But we get on your ass in terms of a social, in the street level. Oh, you did this to a black person, so a cop choked a black kid. So we're going to come after him, galvanize.
Uh-huh.
But when it comes to this, show business or one guy saying something and it's anti-Semitic put on it, you're done.
But blacks can get it in the news and keep shit in the news and pressure it over the long haul where you are, you know, you just whittle away at the bosses wherever you are. And you wind up getting your ass thrown out of there for something you said. Or
the only difference on Howard Beach is I don't think that Jews being beat up would tap into that white guilt. And I think that's a big problem with with when because there's such a history, like the liberal whites get so guilty. Mm-hmm. And I'm not blaming all liberals. I'm just saying that white guilt comes out, and that's why, because black people don't really fire you. They complain until the white people running it fire you. That's basically the way it is, and it taps into that white guilt.
Well, look what happened. I think the black guy that beat up Yankel Rosenbaum, he just got out of
jail.
Yeah.
Beat him up.
He beat up a Jew?
Beat him
up. Is this guy Yankel a Jew?
Killed him. Yeah. Well, they did make an error at the hospital, too, and he wound up dying. They didn't find a stab wound for hours later.
Oh, really?
You know, so they were saying, yeah, he...
he's just complaining. That's what they do.
Yeah,
my side.
I feel a pain. Oh, always complaining.
The man plunged the knife into me.
God. Oh my God.
While you're finding the stab wound, my shoulder hurts. Gives me pain, but I don't want to complain.
Jesus. Just a stab wound.
But he just recently got out. And I think if it was the other way around, and it was reversed, I think if a white guy was getting out of prison, you'd hear a little more about it. Like, why is this guy getting out? He killed a black guy. You know, why? I think in those terms, you get more flack from the black community.
Guilt again, though, because Lamarck Nelson's black.
Whatever the case is, you're getting less flack.
Look at this 1,000-year-old white boy they just now putting up for the Mississippi burning thing.
Yeah.
It's like... What is that? Negroes. Here's a little something for you. Here's a little something, Negroes.
Time to rejoice. Oh, praise Jesus. They locked them up. They locked them up.
And finally, Gene Hackman's is happy. William Dafoe is happy. That's what they did the movie for.
That old guy. He lived his life. Who cares?
He's 9,000-year-old racist.
Yeah, Methuselah.
Cantankerous old fellow.
Shaking his fist at the cameras.
You know those white the prison gangs? They're going to make him the honorary like Buddha.
Oh, be the head muckety muck. We got us a hero coming in today, boys.
Would you have done in the 60s?
Yeah.
This nigga stole my goddamn pack of cigarettes. What would you have done in the 60s?
We'd have burned that goddamn church down. Holy shit.
What's this newfangled shanking you doing?
Newfangled?
What's this newfangled shanking? With a toothbrush, a sharpened toothbrush? Well, goddamn. We should have killed them goddamn 3 civil rights workers with a sharpened toothbrush. Well, thank you, gentlemen.
I love when they put him in front of, like, a woman, black, Asian judge, too. They get, like, where you know he's just sitting there going, my life is in this goddamn mixed breed hands, goddamn. She gonna be the one send me off to prison?
And you know he's so back in the 60s, he's like, all right, do you plead guilty? Guilty. I did it. Of course I killed the niggas and them two nigger lovers. You see, I made a movie. I was Michael Rooker.
Remember the judge in Mississippi Burning? These were caused by outside influences. We're not condoning them, mind you.
Mind you.
Oh. I played the Michael Rooker role. People think I was Stephen Dorff. I wasn't.
You'd kill, would you, Frank? I wouldn't think about it no more than I would snapping a cat's neck. This is a private social club.
Oh. Oh, my God.
And ask them if they want to help save this country from the onslaught of integration.
Oh.
You know, the system is they want to throw white children and colored children into the melting pot of integration. Through out of which will come a conglomerated, blatter, mongrel class of people. All races will be destroyed in such a movement. I, for one, under God, will die before I'll yield one inch.
That
kind of
movement. Yes, it was. That's the best.
That guy has some passion.
And you know they're nodding their heads at each other.
Hurrah.
That was in 1965. It's like, okay, when did that stop? At what point
it didn't.
Did his children say to their children, hey, man, we can't be making these speeches.
It didn't stop.
It's like
people are thinking the same thing today. You just can't get up on a soapbox. and you can't find a soapbox. Yeah.
Mind you.
Mongrels.
Mongrel race.
They changed the word mongrel to rap music. Good. Rap music.
Damn rap music.
Rappers.
A mulatta Latino race.
Oh, just horrible.
Disgusting.
There's more on Rick.
How did we get there?
That was actually Rick's clip. He's writing a song about it.
They did an exclusive interview with Rick.
Conglomerated mongrel race.
Rick never really talked. Rick never talked to the media after the tsunami song and getting fired. He gave this newspaper an exclusive interview.
Exclusive.
You know the deal with the tsunami song. I'm sure even the new listeners heard the controversy. Mm-hmm. Our old producer wrote a song going out to this. Tsunami victims.
Got himself fired.
In an exclusive interview with the Mercury News first reporter on mercurynews.com, Delgado said his earlier actions were edgy but misinterpreted.
Right, of course.
And added that he wouldn't change his act very much for the new station.
That's good. Smart thing to say going in.
Jesus, Rick.
Smart. Don't change. I'm not going to change.
Yeah.
Sex in a church, tsunami songs. Sure. Why not?
That's not what...
AIDS songs.
You got to learn your lesson in the end.
You got to say, look, I screwed up. It went way too far. You know,
do what Ant and I do. Don't say much.
You don't say anything. And then once you get the job again and you're here for a while, then you say, we didn't care. We're not sorry.
There you go. It was a matter of bad taste, like a blonde joke, Delgado said of the tsunami song.
Right.
He's comparing a tsunami song to blonde
a blonde joke.
Yeah.
Sure.
How many orphan children does it take to screw in a light bulb? I don't know, 300,000?
Oh. It's a blonde joke, sure.
Yeah, same thing.
Oh, now, blonde jokes and tsunami jokes. Let's see.
Same thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
You hear about the blonde that climbed a palm tree and watched her boyfriend drown? No?
She owned it.
Oh, when they saw that wave coming, I bet you the eyes got big then. They open right up those little slits. Oh, what's coming?
Wow, another classic Delgado quote. It was a matter of bad taste, like a blonde joke, Delgado said of the tsunami song, which was set to the tune of We Are the World and made a joke of people dying in the December 26th tsunami. Delgado said the song was meant to parody a then-promised tsunami song by Sharon Stone and Sharon Osbourne. His job is to say he won't be censored, but he will be, said Bryant.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's already tension because she's like, you know, the reporter called her and said, this is what your new hire said. And now she's like, he said what?
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 Compared to what?
Boy. Well, his job is to say he won't be censored, but he will be.
Oh, no, really?
But in her head, she's like, what the fuck?
What is this guy?
Is he?
Rick.
And then she goes on, we are in it for the long run. We're going to protect our license, and we are here for the community and the listeners. The tsunami song, obviously people got fired.
Rick.
How much influence did Rick have when he was working with you guys?
On our show?
I mean, to you guys. Like, did you go, okay, that's funny, Rick? Or did you go, could you go, Rick, beat it. I don't like that.
Oh, beat it all the time.
Yeah.
He just made decisions on what
all
you thought
the time.
Was funny.
That's why, you know what? He should not have been fired for the tsunami song. His job is to, you know, as a producer, is to hand in stuff. And then the host, whether it was Anthony and I at the time or Miss Jones and that crew.
Yep.
Then it's up to her to decide, well, should we go with this or
but
not?
Do all hosts have that? Did she think she had that?
Miss Jones. That's why she's the biggest pussy in radio, and she will get destroyed now because she has been, you know, made out to be a phony. She's a phony. She's an absolute phony. Rick shouldn't have been fired. She should have been fired.
There's no producer that comes running over. Could you see a producer running over, shoving a CD in there, and hitting play without the host knowing that it's going to happen?
You mean in taking charge? Not on this show. I can't.
No, absolutely not.
Right. Dude, play this!
She was all brave that day.
Hold you against the wall with his hog.
She was brave that day. Like she backed that song and played it like it was hers. Like it was hers. And even had a little rift with the Asian person on the... what happened? What happened?
Just Ben walking in.
Ben walking into this studio is hysterical.
Is this kid black?
We don't know what he is. He's like
he
that
got
Seinfeld.
Nigga hair, man.
That Seinfeld episode.
White boy with nappy hair. What the hell's wrong with him?
I'm just a white boy with good hair.
No, you're.
But you have like there's something going on where you got.
You're 1% black.
You have some black in you.
Something's going on.
Yeah.
Take you to Maury Povich. I hope you're a white mama.
Yeah, you're 1% black.
Did you ever look back into your history, your family history?
Exactly.
They did look bank.
Is your grandmother like hip hop?
They haven't found any black people, but they found Thomas Jefferson in there. So,
well, are you serious?
Yeah, swear to God.
Yeah. So then, well, Jefferson's been known
to. Wait, you're related to Thomas Jefferson?
You sure, it's not George.
Do you get anything for being related to Thomas Jefferson?
No. Bragging rights.
Yeah?
Yeah.
He's been known to knock off a couple of slave girls, though, in his day.
So I've heard.
They came forward and said that he was doing that, so.
Yeah, it's obvious. You got so a little,
I
got
think
a little something,
if,
something
if
in
you
you
got some Thomas Jefferson in you.
Wow.
I think something was going on there.
You happy about that, you little coon?
Lucky me.
you little moon cricket, huh? Porch monkey?
Do you get invited to the picnic every year? there's like a Thomas Jefferson picnic every year.
Yeah.
No.
No? Oh.
No.
What, any other family members with that hair?
I have an uncle.
An uncle?
Just like
Tom?
Me, on my mom's.
No?
Hank.
Uncle Hank?
Yeah.
And he's got the same hair as you.
He
but everybody else has straight hair?
My brother's hair is curly, but not like mine. Like
yeah,
loose.
You got a big dick? Yeah,
it's a good size.
Yeah,
just wondering
if that's a scrawny dude.
Right. Yeah, scrawny guy.
Yeah, you got
all right, we're running out of show. We want to just wrap this up so we can move on. So Brian had to defend, you know, Rick's comments in the paper.
Mm-hmm.
People got fired. It was meant to be a bad spoof of celebrities and telethons. Delgado said, "My job is to put stuff out there and see what gets a reaction. Hopefully, people will get a kick out of it."
Yeah. He got a kick right on his ass.
And then,
out the fucking door.
And then they talked to this Asian lady, you know, that runs the Asian group out there. And she's like, the use of racial slurs is simply unacceptable, no matter what one's ethnicity is. And Delgado, who is of Spanish and Puerto Rican descent, said he thought racial humor was still acceptable so long as the person making fun of a race is of that race.
Oh,
what's
no.
your favorite racial Rick. Slur?
Mine?
What's just the best racial slur? I think Gook is. I just think Gook is the funniest racial slur.
Gook is a
right
funny
now.
One.
That's a nice one.
I'm serious.
Sure,
I'm not
ain't the one I
this.
Use the most. You know, I find Gook funny, but the one I use the most when I'm driving and I'm cut off.
You guys schooled me on this producer. I thought producers had
power. No, they
not
don't.
At all.
I like to call somebody if they don't do what I want, like a lazy Keith.
Ah, there you go.
We only got a minute left. We got to get this live read in for Paisano.
Like the song says, you'll love Paisano's, a great restaurant right in the heart of Little Italy.
You did
try Paisano of Mulberry Street. Huge portions. Joey feeds us all the time, you freaking Paisano in a classic candlelit restaurant. Perfect for a late night date or a romantic meal. Every single pasta
Joey's
on the menu
canceling his
is
advertising,
now under
by the
$10
way.
At Paisano. Mention XM for free and a glass of wine, and you get a glass of wine for free if you mention XM Radio.
That's right.
Authentic Italian cuisine made from an original old world recipe and the fun and romance of Italy in a friendly restaurant. That's Paisano. Open weekdays till 2 a.m. Paisano of Mulberry Street in the heart of Little Italy between Grand and Hester. Call 212-965-1188. That's 965-1188.
Yeah, and get a free bullet while you're eating with Salazzo.
We love Paisano on Mulberry Street. And he's got the tables out on the sidewalk now, so you can do a little people
can
watch.
Can I come eat Joey? Hey, there.
Hey. You might want to sit inside. Sit inside.
Sit inside.
Nice at tables inside.
Hey, you want the eggplant?
Patrice tonight, by the way, with Boss
like
and Bonnie.
That. I like
oh,
at Caroline's, Patrice O'Neill. I'm definitely going down. So.
Yeah, 12:30 tonight or something like that?
And tomorrow.
Patrice.
And Sunday, 10 o'clock.
Always a pleasure, my friend.
Thank you, gentlemen.
See you Monday.